Well, good evening, everyone. It is time to start our evening service. If it's convenient for you, I'm going to ask you to stand. We have no PowerPoint, but we got hymn books. Remember those? Page 421, Whosoever Meaneth Me. 421, I'm happy today and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, whosoever will may come with him to stay. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. All my hopes have been raised, though his name be praised, his glory has filled my soul. I've been lifted up and from sin set free, his blood has made me whole. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. Oh, what wonderful love, oh, what grace divine, that Jesus should die for me. I was lost in sin, for the world I pined, but now I am set free. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. 445, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me my Father's throne, make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him who share, Open the eyes of my heart. This is not in the hymn book. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lift it up. To see you high and lift it up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lift it up. To see you high and lift it up. Shining, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Be seated, please.
Do we have a PowerPoint? No. Okay. All right. I thought it was just mine.
Yeah.
All right. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, the 13th chapter. The 13th chapter of the book of Acts. And we're going to finish up what we started last Sunday night. And I know I said I was going to finish this morning, but I decided I better finish last Sunday night, and we'll work on that other later. Acts, the 13th chapter, one verse, verse 39. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And our word tonight that we're going to be looking at, a doctrinal word, a doctrinal issue, for it's that you and I, there's a lot of things that we, this justification is one of them. Saved by grace is one. Eternal security is one. But tonight we're going to be looking at justification. I'd have named several more, but none come to mind. Okay. Verse 39, and by him, Jesus, it's talking about. And by him, because he's just, Paul has been preaching here, and he's preached through these verses. And in verse 39, he kind of brings it to a conclusion, and he says, and by him, talking about Jesus, all that believe. Now, it's we'll talk about that just a little more, but all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You can be seated. I do want to point out that saying that we believe and believing may be two different things. This belief is something that you're willing to die for. It is it's putting your trust and your faith in. It is involved in repentance. And when the Bible talks about repentance, it's talking about turning and going the other direction, a change of mind. We had a mindset in this direction, and we've had our mind changed in another direction. We've heard the gospel. We have repented of our sin, and we have put our faith and belief in the Lord Jesus for our salvation. So I think that Paul is trying to make that very clear. And he says that when that happens in an individual's life, they experience justification. Now he preaches the gospel in a nutshell, and I'm not going to take as long as I did last Sunday night on this, but 13:26 through 30 and verse 27, the religious leaders fulfill Scripture by the rejection of Jesus. It's what the Bible said that was going to happen. 28, though he was innocent, totally, absolutely, they crucified him. It's a fulfillment of Scripture. Now, woe to them that brought that plan to completion, but at the same time, he was born to die. 29, they took him down from the cross and they put him in a grave. Verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. Verse 38, your sins can be forgiven. And verse 39, you can be justified. Now, I've heard maybe more than one definition of the word justified, but at least one of those is just as if I hadn't. Just as if I hadn't. Now, that may be hard for us to comprehend, but it's just as if I had not done. Look at Isaiah 53 and look at verse 11. Now, the Bible that I'm using now, I like the open Bible that I've wore out several of them, and the one that I have now I can't keep the pages in, so I'm using a new Bible. And one of the marks that it has in it is that when it talks about a prophecy, there's a little star by that prophecy. And it's an open star. It doesn't have anything in the middle. When you get to the New Testament and you see that prophecy fulfilled, that star is colored in, blacked in. And so here is one. It's in the Old Testament. It has been fulfilled, but at the time it was written, it was a prophecy. Isaiah 53:11 says, he shall see of the travail of his soul, he who? God. God is who the prophet is talking about here. God, and so let's read it like that. God shall see of the travail of his soul. God the Father shall see of the travail of his soul. Who's it talking about? It's talking about Jesus, the travail of his soul when he was on the cross. Now look at this. And shall be satisfied. That's hard for us, but it's just the truth. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, here's our word, justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. It's easy for us to justify ourselves, but this is talking about God justifying us. Luke 16:15 talks about people justifying their self and their own sin and why they do what they do. But he's talking about God justifying us. I want us to see five ingredients tonight of justification. And the first one, and you might have guessed this, is found in Romans 5 and verse 17. Start with that through verse 21. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Who's that? Who's he talking about there in that verse 18? Who passed sin to us? Adam. Adam. And so by the sin of Adam, death was passed upon every one of us. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, who? Jesus, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. I understand how bad sin is. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So the first ingredient of that justification, of course, is we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The first ingredient of justification is grace. The second ingredient of that is Christ's blood. We're in Romans, so let's look at 5 and verse 9. Much more then being now, here's our word, justified by what? By his blood. Justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So the third of these ingredients is the resurrection of Christ from the dead. We talk about the resurrection a lot during Christmas time, but it seems like that we don't spend enough time preaching on it all the rest of the time. But without the resurrection from the dead, there's no salvation. Nothing amounts to nothing unless Christ raised from the dead. And so Paul points that out in the fourth chapter of Romans. And let's just turn back a little bit and look at verse 25. 4:25. And here's one of those fulfillment verses, and it fulfills Isaiah 53:5. And so it says, "Who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again." Here's our word again. For our what? Justification. He was raised for our justification. And then the fourth ingredient of that is the righteousness of God. When you get over to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, And I use this chapter quite a bit. If folks give me an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord, when you look at verse 3 and verse 4, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone," and here's that word again, "that believeth." And that's a part of it. And then the last ingredients to that is obedient faith. And so in John's Gospel, the third chapter, and this is a familiar passage to you. Who's Jesus talking to in the third chapter of John? What's that old boy's name that we begin to like before this is over? Nicodemus. John 3 and verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." I don't know how it could be any plainer than that. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So, number 3, what does it mean to be justified? Well, it means to be forgiven of our sin. It means that because of the shedding of the blood of Christ, I might go free. I want to show you an illustration, and this coming to a close here. Luke 17. Luke's before John, isn't he? Luke 17, verse. These pages are so thin I can't keep from licking my fingers. I didn't have any pie or cake right before I left, but I still lick my fingers. Gwen does that when she turns the pages. She reads to the kids a lot. And so if I sat down with a book to read them, they want to be the one that turned the pages, and they lick their fingers, both of them at the same time. And there's lots of slobbers on the pages. But look at Luke 17 and verse 12. "And as he," Jesus, "entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them," now, pay close attention right here, because we're going to catch a lesson here on justification, on the forgiveness of sin that you and I get to be a part of because of Jesus' death on the cross. "And when he saw them, he said unto them," look at it, "go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was cleansed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet and giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." That's a sermon all its own. But Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. So what did that entail for the leper that had been healed of leprosy? And we find that story over in the book of Leviticus. I think that that's still in this Bible, even though it's new. I said it was. Huh? this Leviticus. Thank you. Leviticus 14. I knew it had to be right in there somewhere. The thing about it, I had it more. 14 and 1. And through verse 7. And so, any of you, it's been a while since this book came out, but Max Lucado had a fiction book on the leper that was healed. Not one of the ten, but the individual that Jesus embraced, the one that came to Jesus and said, "If you would, you could heal me." And that is a magnificent understanding of the leper and how difficult, how awful his life was, and had to leave his family and go and live in outside the city, and couldn't approach anyone, couldn't be anywhere about anyone that he loved or knew, and it was a terrible, awful disease. Well, in the scripture, that depicts our sin. There is no way that we can understand. I don't think there's any way that we can paint a picture of our sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. Leprosy paints a pretty good picture of that. It's awful. It's dreadful. It's terrible. And so Jesus said there in Luke, the 17th chapter, he healed the lepers. And he said, "Now go show yourself to the priest." So this is what would have happened. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper. In the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of the leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop." You know about that hyssop? You ever heard that term before? When the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, and the death angel passed over, the Lord told them to take a lamb and drain its blood in a bowl and take hyssop out of the branch and dip it in the blood of the lamb and strike it over the top of the door and down each side of the doorpost. And when they struck the hyssop against the branch, water came out of it. And it's all pointed to Jesus. All of it pointed to Jesus. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was nailed to the cross. And he had taken on the sins of the world. And so, because the Jews did not want anyone to be hanging on the cross on the Sabbath day, they had sent the soldiers to finish them off if they were not already dead. And they would break the legs of those that were crucified so they could not hold themselves up and could no longer get their breath. And they would break their legs so they had to drop down. And it would finish them off very quickly. They couldn't get their breath, so they would die of suffocation. But when they came to Jesus, they didn't do that. Do you know why? Because the Bible says there would not be a bone of him broken. And so the soldier took his spear and pierced the side of the Savior. And do you know what came out? Blood and water. So all of this, the cleansing of the leper, points toward Jesus. It points toward our justification. Just as if I had had leprosy and had been cleansed, my sins had been forgiven. Well, can you imagine? Can you imagine this guy's life? He had had leprosy. Now he was healed. And he'd gone before the priest for the priest to look at the spots that had been, and now they were gone. Everything was healed up. He was cured of leprosy. Now he could go back to his family. He could go back. Everything would be different. You know, we live such lives of leisure and such lives of plenty. We can hardly imagine what it would be like not living the kind of lifestyle that you and I live. To be like the leper and then be healed and to be able to go back. Oh, man. I'll bet he did a jig, don't you? I bet he couldn't keep his feet on the floor. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses," and I read part of this, let me just get caught up. "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of the leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet and hyssop." That's where I got to, wasn't it? "And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in the earthen vessel over running water. And as for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and he shall dip them in the living, he shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times," because that's a perfect number, "and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field." Did you get that picture? There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath the flood, loose all their guilty stains, loose all their guilty stains. Let's stand together. Mike Dishroon, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer, please?